Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, chapter 18, description of Varnashram Dharma, text number 20. Ekascharin mahimetam nisangasam yatindriya adma kridatmanata Atmavam Samadarshana Ekascharin Mahimetam Nisangasam Yatindriya Atmakridatmarata Atmavam Samadarshana Ekaha, alone. Chare, one should move about. Mahim, the earth. Etam, this. Nisangaha, without any material attachment. Samyata indriya, completely controlling the senses. Atmakridaha, enthusiastic by realization of the Super Soul. Admarata, completely satisfied in spiritual understanding. Atmavan, steady on the spiritual platform. Samadarsanaha, with equal vision everywhere. Translation. Without any material attachments, with senses fully controlled, remaining enthusiastic and satisfied in realization of the Supreme Lord and His own Self, the saintly persons who travel about the earth alone, having equal vision everywhere, he should be steady on the spiritual platform. The purport is long and I'll sort of deal with it step by step. Om Jnana Kimanandasya Ginandana Salakaya Sakshuram Nitam Yanatasmai Si Gurave Namaha Mukham Karuti Vachalam Pangam Langayati Garim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Si Gurum Dinatarinam Si Chaitanya Misvaram Paramananda Madhavam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. A saintly person is not looking for any other shelter than Krishna. Otherwise, there are so many different types of shelter one can look for. Shelter of family, shelter of nationality. For example, when you're Australian, then, you know, Australian government will do something for you. Right? If you sort of go bankrupt, no worries. No worries. You go on the dole, you know, you'll live. But in some countries, it's not like that. In Bangladesh, too bad, you know. Starve. Beg, you know. Even in India, there's not so much of backup. But then the family is the security. So we're all looking for some security in the material world in case it gets tough. But it says in Bhagavatam, Atmasanyesu Asatsuapi, these are the family members are fallible soldiers because they themselves are at risk. They cannot save themselves, so how can they save us? How are they going to save us? So, therefore, the ultimate shelter is Krishna. And when we take shelter of Krishna, everything taken care of. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada says, he says, these boys and girls, they have everything, everything best. They live in the best places, marble floors and big chandeliers on the ceiling. They have the best food, best dress. It grows with you as you grow. Very convenient. Best dress. They have everything best. Prabhupada says, and if someone wants to get married, no problem. And again, best husband or best wife, because they follow some principles. Therefore, Prabhupada says, material success will roll at your feet when you become a devotee and say, please take me. No problem. After all that, now let's get practical. In the sense from, is it really always like that? Isn't it a fact that one needs some security in life? Would it be irresponsible to not make any arrangements? You have these old fairy tales of the ant and the cricket. You know, the cricket is playing violin all summer and having a lot of fun, but the ant is working hard, right? All throughout the summer, no vacation, working like anything, and then in the winter the cricket is in trouble and comes to beg from the ant, right? But it's your own fault, because you didn't make any material arrangement. Just partying all the time and not really taking responsibility for making a solid material arrangement. So what about that? It depends. It depends on one's position in life. Let us look for a moment at Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was seeing that everything in this world is connected to eating. It's because of eating you need money. No money, no food. He was seeing, if simply I finish this business of working to eat, or as a sadhu, begging to eat, if I simply finish this business, then I am free. Then I don't have to take away any of my time from the Supreme Lord. And thus he decided to follow the vow known as Ajagara Vritti. And this Ajagara Vritti is a vow where you make the vow of the python. The python who is lying on the path, and he's not hunting. He's just lying there. And whatever comes his way, all right, that he'll take. And whatever is not coming, like that. The lion is hunting everywhere. Is there something? Licks his lips at someone who's well-built. It is said that even the lion has to work. And that the deers are not walking into his mouth while he's asleep. But the python has a different approach. And Srila Madhavendra Puri had that approach. Whatever comes on its own accord, that I will accept, and I will make no endeavor to eat. And thus he was fasting, and of course we know Krishna personally came. And Krishna said, please take this milk. How did you know I was fasting? Krishna said, the ladies told me that there's this sannyasi out there and he's fasting. He said, in my village no one fasts. So that's Krishna's village. That's good to know. And he gave him the milk and said, I will come back in the evening to collect the pot. So I like it that he said, in my village no one fasts. That's Krishna. So there's no need for such rigid austerity. But we see that devotees like Madhavendra Puri make themselves dependent on the Supreme Lord. But it's not that they stop working and sleep all day. No. Simply, they decide that I'm not going to take any time away from serving Krishna. I will serve Krishna 24 hours a day. And if then he doesn't want to maintain me, no problem. Then I will just starve or die, whatever. But I will worship him 24 hours a day. And then we see that Krishna supplies. We see that Srila Prabhupada, for example, in his beginning, started the matchless gift storefront with help of some young people. And they did a big collection. Mukunda helped, and they went around everywhere, and they were collecting and collecting. And it was difficult. But with the help of everyone, they managed to scrape the rent for the first months together. And then they just barely managed it, and then bang, yes, paid the rent. Is that a way to enter into a rental contract? The second month will be more difficult. You're coming back again, say, I gave you last month, I can't give you every month. And so the second month will be more difficult than the first one. So is that a basis to enter into a rental contract? From a material calculation, no. If a committee of managers would sit together and they look at the case and say, no, this is not viable, this is not responsible, we're not ready for this. That's how you would look at it. But Prabhupada did it, and he did it in the full faith that Krishna would provide. But we should also know that Prabhupada gave everything he had in the service of Krishna. He wasn't holding back nothing. Everything was just for Krishna's interest, and nothing was really used for himself. He was so frugal with money. He was keeping accounts of everything he received, and he'd just write things like received 50 cents or $1, $5, spent 30 cents on this, 60 cents on that. Who counts the cents? The change is sort of, you have all this change and you just throw it somewhere, here's the change. Who keeps accounts of change, of coins? But Prabhupada did. He did. And he was that serious about using every little bit for Krishna. Surabhi, who was an architect, and he didn't really join Prabhupada. Prabhupada basically kidnapped him. Because he came to visit in Bombay, and someone introduced him as an architect who came to see Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "You are an architect." He says, "Yes." Prabhupada said, "Oh, very good. Here is a pen and there is paper. Can you please make a drawing, a design for a temple?" And Prabhupada, before he knew it, he was there. And design. And Prabhupada said, "Yes, very nice. Yes, let's do it. Let's build it." And then Prabhupada said, "Tomorrow there will be initiations." And then he said, Surabhi said, "Can I also come?" And it was his own initiation. The Prabhupada just initiated him the next day. He wanted him, and that was it. So that's why one can say he was almost kidnapped. And he was a professional, and Prabhupada understood that and treated him also with the respect of a professional. So sometimes Bhavananda and Jayaprataka Maharaj would come, and they would ask for money for construction for Mayapur, and they would ask for 5 lakhs, and Prabhupada would argue and said, "Why you want so much?" He wouldn't give, then he would give only 2, and send them back. But when Surabhi would come and he would ask for a larger amount even, Prabhupada would give. So without arguing, because he was a professional. So he gave him that recognition. But then Prabhupada gave him the check for so many lakhs, which was a lot of money at that time. And And then Prabhupada, as Surabhi had the check, Prabhupada said, wait a minute, how are you going to cash this check? The check was written on a bank from Vrindavan. So Surabhi said, well, when I'm in Vrindavan, I'll take a rickshaw, go to the state bank, cash the check, and in that way, I'll deposit it. And Prabhupada said, yes, that's right. Give me that check. He said, I will post it to the bank, and that will cost me, I don't know what, 25 paisa, and I'll save 2.5 rupees on the rickshaw. So this way, he's taking it back and saving 2.5 rupees on the rickshaw. Of course, we can understand that he was not only interested in saving 2.5 rupees, but that he was impressing on Surabhi's mind that I've given you this money, but don't waste a paisa. So Prabhupada was like that, very serious about Krishna's property. Always saying, turn off the lights, don't waste Krishna's energy. Close the taps. It's all Krishna's energy. Don't waste. Very serious about using all his facilities. Praner artha diyavacha. All his energy, all his assets, all his intelligence, all his words in the service of Krishna. And because of that, he had full faith. Full faith that yes, Krishna will surely provide. It's like, what can I do now? I have done everything in my might. Now, my Lord, it's up to you. If you want to help, you help. If you don't want to help, don't help. But, you know, I cannot do any more. And then, Krishna helps. That's when Krishna surely provides. But if we do nothing and give nothing and think that Krishna will give everything, then we shouldn't be surprised if Krishna gives nothing. So in this way, the saintly person, he takes full shelter in Krishna. And that is why it's said here that without any material attachment, with senses fully controlled senses means all engaged in the service of Krishna, nothing for personal, for a personal agenda. Remaining enthusiastic, not feeling like, oh, so much austerity I'm forming. No, how fortunate am I? What great fortune do I have that I have received this mercy, that my darkened eyes have been opened, that I am getting this opportunity to do this devotional service. How wonderful is it? At every step, I'm getting this mercy, and therefore being enthusiastic and satisfied in realization of the Supreme Lord and His own Self, then the saintly person should travel about the earth alone. Because he's never alone. He's never alone. Where's the question of being alone? A Vaishnava cannot really say, cannot sing a song, I'm so lonely. Oh, I'm so lonely. He's not lonely. He's never lonely. How can he be lonely? He's always with Krishna. Always. Always. Therefore, no. Not alone. Not alone. No. With Krishna. And therefore, everything becomes possible. Having equal vision. Pandita Samadarshinaha. Bhagavad Gita. Vidya Vinaya Sampane. Brahmana Gavi Hastini. Sunichaiva Swapakacha. Pandita Samadarshina, one sees the elephant, one sees the dog, the dog eater, the brahmana, all as equal. That means a spirit soul. One looks beyond the body. Pandita Samadarshina. Everyone, therefore, is actually the eternal servant of the Lord. When they ask Prabhupada, the journalists would ask, how many devotees are there in the world? And Prabhupada would say, unlimited. Some know it and some don't. And that is really how it is. Everyone is a devotee of Krishna. And Pandita Samadarsana means that we see that everyone is a devotee of Krishna. In the Nectar of Devotion, there is a reference of Kansa. And Kansa is seated on his throne. And Kansa is just thinking, what can Krishna do to me? What can he do to me? He can't do anything to me because I have very powerful allies. Very powerful allies. He won't be able to touch me because I have powerful allies like Casey. You know, I mean, Casey is so inconceivably powerful. What can he do to me? Just then, some messengers walked into the court of the king and said, your majesty, a disaster, Casey has been killed. Kansa, no, how is it possible that Casey is killed? It cannot be, oh no, I mean, he's too powerful, what should I do? Maybe I should just surrender. And then he thinks, nah, how could I do that? What would people say? Me comes out, so nah, how could I do that? What would people say? No, I couldn't do that. Then maybe, instead, I should go to Vrindavan and inflict pain on the residents of Vrindavan. But how can I do that when I'm too afraid to leave the palace? So this is Kamsa's moment of doubt. Huh? I like it, Kamsa's moment of doubt, and we see that even in the heart, in the hard concrete shell of Kamsa's heart, there was a crack. And for a moment, even Kamsa, his demoniac mentality broke, and for a moment, in a flash, he thought, maybe I should surrender. Because this is the inherent nature of every living being. To just think, yes, surrender, sooner or later, surrender. That is our inherent nature. Here in Australia, years ago, they sent me door to door, and I came to this house, and as I came to the door, there was a lady with bright red hair, and she just said, get out. So I just came to the door. And I hadn't even spoken to her, you know. So I was sort of looking over my shoulder and thought, maybe a dog entered into the garden behind me and maybe she's not speaking to me but to the dog. Because, I mean, you wouldn't speak like that, you know. Maybe I was coming to give something, you know. How does she know that I'm selling something? Get out! But there was no dog, so then I thought, well, I guess it's for me. So it said something like, just cool it, lady. You know, just cool it, you know. I'm already leaving, huh? Just cool it, you know. And then I come out in the street, and there was a man, and he had a big American Cadillac. And on the bonnet, there was a statue, you know, one of those big American cars with a statue on the bonnet. And he was sitting next to the car on his knees, polishing the car. And he says to me, as soon as he sees me, and I wasn't dressed like a dog, he was just in civil clothes. And he just looks at me, and he just says, I'll never bow down. And I said, oh yes you are, you're already bowing down to your car. Oh boy. Can you believe that? I was sure that he was the husband of the redhead lady, you know. If not, they would make a great match, you know. Absolutely. Gosh. But, you know, every demon, right? Every demon deep down is also a devotee. Pandita Samadarsina. That is the vision. So even the demons can get the mercy. Somehow or other, if we can manage it, throw some sacred water on them and they'll cool down maybe a little bit. So in this way we can somehow or other give Krishna consciousness to everyone. Pandita Samadarsina. Still, it is said is. Iswarata Dadinesu Bali Sesu Disatchuta Kripa Picture Maitri Prema was the last one. Prema Maitri, yes, Kripa Upeksha Prema Maitri, thank you. I knew I mixed it up. Kripa Upeksha Prema Maitri, Yakaruti Samadhyamaha. So it is said, different, a Madhyam Adhikari treats different devotees in a different way. He avoids the envious. He is feeling love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, friendship with the devotees, and so on. Gives mercy to the innocent. But the Uttama Adhikari doesn't see like that. He doesn't see like that. He really sees Pandita Samadarshina. He sees everyone. He sees the devotee in everyone, in somehow or other. Everyone. Everyone gets the mercy. So when one is a preacher, it is said the preacher should become should come down from the Uttama Adhikari level to the Madhyama Adhikari level, if he is an Uttama Adhikari. And but we see by the behavior of Srila Prabhupada what that means. That it's not that he becomes that he becomes a Madhyama Adhikari, but he may here and there call a few people rascals. He may just point out that there is some nonsense. He will call a spade and a spade. Prabhupada said, you know, like there are so many so-called spiritualists, and they will come to us and they will say that you are good, we are good. And Prabhupada said, no, we will say we are good and you are not good. So Prabhupada, like this, was not interested in compromising the truth. And that made him so completely reliable. That made him so totally, you could just count on him. It didn't matter. It didn't matter what the circumstances were. Prabhupada would give the truth. That's it, and nothing else. And you could be sure. And we can be sure about that. Right? Irregardless of what people would think about it, he would simply give the truth. Oh, not that he was not able of saying things in a tactful way, and sometimes he did, but he would not adjust the philosophy for anyone or anything. Bhurijan Prabhu tells the story in Japan and how they went to this city of Kobe. And there in Kobe there was a man who wanted to donate a house to ISKCON, a whole house for a temple. And Prabhupada was supposed to come for the final talks and finalize the matter. And then there was a program also. And for that program, there was also some other Swami from India, Mayavadi Swami, invited. And, before the program, an arrangement was made on a stage. And the gentleman's guru, there was a special Vyasasan with a picture of his guru, which was very big. And then they had smaller Vyasasan for Prabhupada and the other speaker. So the Prabhupada's disciple said, oh no, Prabhupada must sit on the big Vyasasan, you know, he's a Jagat Guru, you know, he's like a guru for the whole world, you know, and he cannot sit on the small one. He's like, that wouldn't be appropriate, he's very famous, the whole world. So finally the man was convinced and said, all right then. He said, then both the speakers can sit on that big Vyasasan. So that was the program. Prabhupada sat on the big Vyasasan, gave the lecture. And then after he was finished, it was the turn of the other Swami to speak. And the host came and sort of invited the other Swami now to sit on the Vyasa. And Prabhupada just didn't get down. He stayed on that Vyasa. And they sort of invited him, you know, and Prabhupada smiled. And he didn't come down. And he stayed. So in the end, they didn't know what to do. They're getting very embarrassed. So they had to put the other Swami on a small Vyasasan. So they put him on the small Vyasasan, and then he gave his talk and in Hindi, and for about, maybe 10 minutes or so, he was speaking, and Prabhupada didn't say anything. And then suddenly he got upset and he said to the devotees, "Kirtan, kirtan, have kirtan." So the devotees immediately, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna," which was the favorite melody of those days. Swami Krishna, and they drowned out the speaking. And Prabhupada said, in the beginning it was alright. But then he started to speak this Maya about philosophy. So it's like, bam, you know. Then he started the kirtan. And yes, the organizer was so upset. And he never gave the house. He never gave the house. And Prabhupada didn't care. And that endears him to us. That creates faith. That's where we say, just see, you know. That's the truth before anything. No compromise for some material benefit. That's the business mentality. Yes, that is Dharma. As I said, in the Varna Ashram system, the Brahmana is dedicated to Dharma. The Kshatriya is dedicated to Dharma. And both the Brahmana and the Kshatriya, they will be ready to even accept things that are not to their own advantage for the sake of upholding Dharma. But the Vaishya is different, see. Vaishya is, yes, Dharma is very nice, but, you know, if you can make profit, yes, then, yeah, well, take the profit today and follow Dharma tomorrow. That is the Vaishya mentality. It's like, take the profit. So, but a sadhu cannot be like that. A sadhu must be completely dedicated to the Absolute Truth. And what is the Absolute Truth? Prabhupada was teaching in the introduction of Srimad Bhagavatam. He was teaching how Param Satyam, it is said, Bhagavatam in the first verse, Janmadiyasiyatum vyatitaratas chartesvabhikiswara tena brahmaridayadikavayam uyantiyat surya tejo vadimayam yatavinimayo yatatrisarganisna tamnasvena sadani rastakurukam satyam param dimahi. So satyam param dimahi, the word dimahi is coming from the Gayatri mantra, which is meaning meditation. So to meditate on the Absolute Truth. And then in the beginning of the verse it is explained, Krishna is the origin of everything. Everything is emanating from Him. He is all-pervading and fully conscious of everything and yet independent from everything. And then it is said even, and His energy is very powerful. It bewilders even the demigods. Muyanti atsuraha, suryaha. And sometimes you see water on land or water in fire. And it one sees it, but know it to be the illusory energy. So all the living beings are prone to the illusory energy which comes from Krishna. Alright, very good. So in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us an understanding how everything is connected with Krishna. But Krishna is also independent. I lost the train of thought. The coach got disconnected. Doesn't matter. We'll get back to there, I guess. Or maybe not. But Prabhupada was always having this vision. Everything connected with Krishna. Krishna is first. Krishna is the essence, and everything else doesn't matter. Don't become bewildered by, no matter how important the material energy looks, follow simply this one principle. Krishna, whatever is good for Krishna, that first. And don't tolerate blasphemy of Krishna. And Mayavad is a form of blasphemy. So this was the spirit of Srila Prabhupada. And thus he truly could go alone through the world. Because even although Prabhupada was surrounded by many people, thousands of people Still, he was alone, because there was no one like him. You can be among a crowd of people, but if you are on a level of Krishna consciousness which is unequaled by anyone else, then you are alone. You cannot share with anyone on an equal level. You are alone. Alone amidst the millions. Alone on the planet. Because where was there another Prabhupada on the planet? That's what the devotees said in the early days. When Prabhupada's health was not so good, and when he, after San Francisco, said that he had to go back to India for his health for some time and get some hot weather. And they said, all right, but Swamiji, maybe someone else can come from India to look after us. Maybe one of your god brothers. And Prabhupada, first thing was, he said that my spiritual master was not an ordinary spiritual master. And then he had a tear in his eye. And next thing he said, if they say one word different from me, there will be havoc. So, like that, my spiritual master is not an ordinary spiritual master. That is a fact. Srila Prabhupada was not a spiritual master, an ordinary spiritual master. I mean, as if a spiritual master can be ordinary. But he was not. We can measure what is the standard for a bona fide spiritual master. Prabhupada by far exceeds that standard. By far. Prabhupada was way beyond what it takes to be a spiritual master. Prabhupada was just unique. He was completely transparent to Lord Chaitanya. 100%. No one. There was no one on the planet in his presence, and there is no one on the planet now who can equal him. Some people are looking for a replacement. And then some think they have found a replacement. We have found another Prabhupada. You're dreaming. There is no other Prabhupada. Prabhupada comes once in a day of Brahma, at least. The work he did is the work that is done once in a day of Brahma. It is said that Lord Chaitanya appears once in a day of Brahma after Krishna has appeared. And then Lord Chaitanya establishes the Sankirtan movement. And where did he establish it? In India. Then Prabhupada took it from east to west. And Prabhupada also once commented and said, now this movement has spread and it's gone too far. He said, they can't stop it anymore. He says, like a disease, once it's gone too far, you can't stop it anymore. It's too late. He says, they won't be able to stop it anymore. So he did it. He took it from east to west. He established Lord Chaitanya's movement to stay, in his own words. That is done only once in this entire day of Brahma. Prabhupada did that. So he was chosen for that. What a special intimate associate of the Lord. It's not anybody else like him. No way. Therefore, we should understand that we all get behind him. Therefore, all right, we say founder Acharya, as he taught, founder Acharya, but we're all getting behind him. Prabhupada, at whose feet all masters sit, and those who don't sit at his feet, they are simply, they may also be Vaishnavas worthy of respect, but they are not helping. They are not helping him in his mission. And that can sometimes just upset things unnecessarily. So it's unfortunate if other Vaishnavas cannot just get behind Prabhupada and preach as he did. Some have come and said, chant 4 rounds. Very nice. Some have said, chant 64 rounds. But if only everyone could have said, chant 16 rounds and gotten behind Prabhupada. How nice that could have been. But if they speak one word different, there will be havoc, Prabhupada said. And they did spoke words different. That speak word different. Yeah, so anyway. In the mid-80s, one of the sannyasis, Trivikram Maharaj, gave a lecture. And Trivikram Maharaj is like, one of the early devotees who were sent from America to London. So Trivikram Maharaj is there from day one, you know, like, and these early devotees, they oftentimes have become more devotees of Prabhupada than of Krishna. Yeah? I mean, they always talk about Prabhupada. Yeah, you hardly hear them about Krishna. It's like just like in Australia, Madhudvisa sometimes comes and he just talks to about Prabhupada. We had a program with Hari Suri, and there were supposed to be three speakers, right, who were supposed to speak that evening about Prabhupada. Then someone asked a question at the beginning of the program, and 3 hours later, Hari Suri said, "Are there any other questions?" And all of us, "Nice. Let it be like this." It was Bhav. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj was there and he said, I didn't know that he was like that. Meaning, so absorbed that this Bhav practically going into like a boom, a forgetting the world. So, Trivikram Maharaj, also such a devotee, always talking about Prabhupada. So in the mid-80s, he gives a lecture in Vrindavan and he says, I have one doubt. And everyone is like, what's this, you know? He has a doubt. He says, I have one doubt. I am not sure whether Prabhupada went back to Godhead. And you go like, what? You know, what? You know, we're all feeling, is this off or what, you know? I mean, this is too much, you know, like, devotee is like, what, you know? And then he says, yes, I am not sure if he went back to Godhead, because maybe he went to another universe to do it again. And he said, that was the first time we ever heard about that. Nowadays, that has been said, and maybe you have heard it before, that maybe Prabhupada could be in another universe. But that was the first time anybody ever said it and anybody ever thought about it. Huh? Yes, that is Prabhupada. Huh? Because we are not going to celebrate and say, you know, Srila Prabhupada is glorious because he went back to Godhead. Huh? Because that I would not consider, if someone would say Prabhupada is glorious because he went back to Godhead, I would not consider that a glorification of Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada never left Godhead. Where's the question of him going back? Did he leave Godhead ever for a moment? He was always with Godhead. Always. Every single moment. Never was there a time when Prabhupada was not with Krishna. Any doubt about that? No doubt at all. In this way, that is the true purport. Well, that's the purport as I see it to this verse. That is how a devotee can be alone, and never alone, always with Krishna. And that is how he can have an unlimited source of strength. He never dries up. He never has a moment that he's tired from the struggles in spiritual life, and he feels it's so difficult. No. He's always inspired, always enthusiastic, always, again, fresh energy to again and again go forward, because he's always with Krishna, anytime, everywhere. And that is real Krishna consciousness. And that is the platform we should all attain, whether we are in whatever ashram we are. We should all get to that level of Krishna consciousness. Never alone, always with Krishna. And everyone, everyone can get the mercy. Everyone. With love. Pandita Samadarsina. Yes, give, yes, give. Give, 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 give to everyone. All that you have. That was Prabhupada. Any question? Any comment?
Wondering that when you were telling the story about Trilobi Maharaj, I was thinking of Giriraj Maharaj. He told a similar story. Bhaktivinoda went out in the UP a few years later. So he told how Prabhupada convinced his mother that he is going to get proteins. So Prabhupada said, bring some sandesh. And his parents were reluctant to take, but Prabhupada made them take. And then he asked, did you like it? So his mother said, yes. Then he said, I'm going to get the same thing to your son. So don't worry about proteins.
Yeah. Yes, the mother was worried that her son was in India, and she was suggesting, why doesn't he come back to America? And then they were thinking, once he's in America, then he's closer to home, and then there's this father has a lot of money, and then, you know, we'll try and get him married, and then we'll get him a job, and then slowly, slowly, in the father's company, and then in this way, little by little. They were very smart, but Prabhupada was more smart. Because Prabhupada was a Calcutta boy, as he used to say. So he knew not only the spiritual ways, but also the ways of the world. Yes.
How can one develop compassion?
Yeah. Yes, I've thought about this a lot, you know, and because I don't have any. But I thought about it, and I thought the only way. Well, you can, of course, try and act compassionate. Here we are, you know, Ganapati and Kadapa Kanana Swami, and we will kindly shower mercy upon all the fallen conditioned souls. Here, have a burfi, yeah? Or a tulsi leaf, or whatever we have. We can do like that. Yeah? Or we can think of something... something else. But the point is, then we are not really compassionate. Then we are acting. We're acting out a part, you know, of traumatic, theatrical performance of being compassionate. But deep down in our heart, we're still not compassionate. It begins, my conclusion is, one can only be compassionate if one actually has something better. If we actually are experiencing that, yes, I have something better. It really is better. This Krishna consciousness is really wonderful. It is better. Then we can be compassionate. If we are happy in Krishna consciousness, then we can be compassionate. But as long as we are not happy in Krishna consciousness, how can we be compassionate? Then we can act compassionate. We can give people... we can act compassionate. We can give them... Prabhupada, but we are not compassionate. Just like Harisori, Prabhupada's servant, once said that he wanted to go out preaching. And Prabhupada said, preaching? What will you preach? What can you preach? He said, Prabhupada said, I am preaching. Yeah. Yeah. So to be compassionate means when we are happy in Krishna consciousness, then we can actually feel sorry for those who don't have it. But if we're not so happy in Krishna consciousness, and then it's summertime and the weather's fine and everyone's sitting out there on the terraces and enjoying and like having a great time, and we're looking at them and you're standing on the street with books, then you feel sorry for who? You feel sorry for them or sorry for yourself? So, but when we're happy, yes, then we can see their suffering. One New York policeman asked one of our sannyasis, what is it? What is it that you guys have to give up? The answer, suffering. All you have to give up is suffering, nothing else. So, yeah, that's how we develop compassion, by being happy in Krishna consciousness. Anyone else? All right, so now my last goodbye words to you. It's been very nice. I very much appreciate all the friendship, all your nice, kind association. It's been lots of fun. Aniruddha has taken care of us really well, and everybody else also. And I was lucky that Atul was here, and Dhruvananda visited. All fun. So I had a nice time in Melbourne. I'm already making plans of when to come back. Somewhere September, October, depends on a few dates, you know, I have to juggle them. But hoping to come back and see you all soon, Krishna willing. And thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada.
जो भी इसका तुम करना स्वामी महाराज की।